Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you're at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com. I try to upload an episode to it once a week and once every other week, just kind of depending upon my schedule. And also, the other way that you're listening to this podcast, and the most efficient way, is through the iTunes search engine. Just enter Warman Kickfighting Show, and it pops right up. So I'll jump into the action. I am on location right now. I say that as if I'm, like, out reporting somewhere. I am not. I am in Koh Samui, Thailand. I was out here doing some training, getting some learning on for my students, and also I am with my wife. Took her out to kind of see the world, and this is a place that I really wanted her to see. She didn't get the opportunity to see it. So last year we kind of planned it. Today we made it. This year we made it happen. So that's why I'm out here in Thailand. So I will do my best to bring you guys kickboxing action and talk to you about some of the best fighters in the world, some of the best kickboxers on the planet, doing high-level competing and doing their best to represent the sport at the highest. So we'll go ahead and jump right into it as we talk about the glory card. Sorry about that slight delay. There's a little bit of echo where I am, so I tried to move to a different place. I apologize if you still hear the echo. But let's go ahead and jump right into the kickboxing action. We'll go from the bottom of the card to the top. And again, you guys know that I work for Glory Kickboxing. I do a lot with the matchmaking, and I do a lot for looking for U.S., Canada, Mexico, looking for some of the talent in that area, and looking for opportunities for them to compete. So please forgive the delay. I just want to make sure that, please forgive if I don't go narrative or go outside of narrative and storyline and the action that I saw. I'm never going to like critique someone at this period of time. I'm just going to talk about the action that I see and where the fighters are headed afterwards. If you kind of looking for a more critical breakdown, I think you'll find it if you listen to the Liver Kick podcast or some of the other podcasts out there. But whenever I talk about glory cards in particular, I try to keep it results, the action that I saw, and the storyline that it tells. We'll go ahead and start with the bottom of the card as Diego Lamas gets a victory over Justin Houghton early in the, about 140 into the first round. He was able to score some effective offense with the boxing right away. Landed the left hook, and Justin was in trouble. After Justin took a couple of shots, he... Okay, everyone, sorry, I'm back to the kickboxing action. You might have heard a small break where I was. I kept hearing an echo, so I needed to leave that room. So I'll go ahead and go back to the result I was just talking about. Diego Lamas is a young Hispanic fighter from Mexico, training at one of the better gyms in the country in CSA in Dublin, California, under Kieran Fitzgibbons. And he came out and he performed extremely well, got the boxing going, played a simple game until he was able to find his counters with his boxing. I actually thought Justin Houghton was scoring a lot better in this fight than he did in his fight in New York, but Lamas was able to score more consistently, score the bigger shots, and he got Houghton in trouble. They had a standing eight after Houghton looked like he was going to fall down. It was by the ropes. I was fine with it. And then as they were doing the count, Justin Houghton was looking off into the background. Good KO call, and I think that as we move forward, there will be a lot more of Diego Lamas. I think that he's going to be a threat. 143 is his weight class. They did a catch weight at 150 because the original opponent dropped out, and then the fight got moved from the undercard to the main card, and it was a whole mess. But we'll see when we move forward. Houghton will, of course, get another opportunity to fight in glory down the road, and Diego Lamas moves forward, and it's time for us to see, you know, kind of what else he can do in the division. I've got some guys in mind that I would love to see him get the opportunity to kind of prove his worth against some of the guys who were in the glory tournament before. Giga Jikadze would be another fun fight. We'll see what kind of happens, and we'll keep pushing him because Diego Lamas put on a great performance. Mari Boyd then defeats Daniel Morales. Boyd came out very simple, had a nice 1-2 switch kick game, look for power boxing in moments. I think that Daniel Morales really showed a lot of defense, like a lot of really good defense. He had a tight earmuff guard, and he was able to check kicks. He really impressed me with some of the work that he was doing as far as the defense goes. But, you know, in the kickboxing game, it's very, very important that you win rounds. In some sports, you know, you can get away with it because, like MMA, for example, it's a finishing sport. So there are people like a Derek Lewis who could lose rounds, but because he knows he can get the KO shot later, he'll be able to win it. Or people who have got that submission in their back pocket, they always have that opportunity. In MMA and in boxing, you got to put rounds away. You can't rely on your ability to get someone out of there. And I think that in this situation, Morales really did have the defense part down. I thought he did a great job, good strong earmuffs, but just couldn't score offense enough. There were some opportunities where he was like shoe shining to the body, and I thought that was good. And but, you know, shoe shining, it just kind of goes ref to ref, judge to judge. Will they let you do it? Will they count it on the scorecard? Most of the time, shoe shining isn't the most, you know, painful of techniques. So sometimes they just don't score it because they don't think that it really affected the other person. So we'll definitely see what happened moving. What happens with these individuals moving forward, and we'll continue to push the Amari Boyd because he's coming off his third glory win now. And like I said, he likes the, when I talk to him personally, he goes, I want to fight the international opposition. I want to fight some of the best guys in the world. And I think that that should be the goal of everybody. I think you get into this game to be the best in the world. It's one thing to have fun and be a prize fighter. It's a whole nother thing to go out there and compete to the best of your ability against the best in the world. And when it's all said and done with your career, you can, you know, kind of laugh at the days to come because, you know, you had the opportunity to go in there with the best no matter what. So I bring up a Warren Stevelman's all time. Warren Stevelman's is a guy who he didn't necessarily win, you know, K-1 World Grand Prix, didn't necessarily get a million trips to Japan. But, man, this guy fought everybody on the planet, you know, at 70 kgs, which really isn't his weight class. So as for Daniel Morales, you know, of course, he's had his struggles at the glory level. And again, he, you know, really was a boxing MMA guy who moved pro and just needs more fights, you know, maybe even more fights outside of glory to build the resume, to have success at the glory level. But just total, the more he kickboxes, the better it will be. And unfortunately, you know, we're not in Europe where you could fight, you know, so much more regularly. He's just got to do his best to find more fights. Wouldn't be a bad idea for him to do the Simon Marcus and go to Thailand and just find fights. But the more you get to compete, the more you're going to see your skill set grow against top opposition. So for a guy who was thrown right in there, you know, against some really, really tough guys, you know, Morales is always there. He always goes rounds. He just has to get that next step and make sure that he's winning those rounds. And, you know, I want to see him get his hands raised. And I think a lot of it's just going to come with just development, training, and really just getting a fight all the time. We move on to what I felt was the fight of the night as Omar Moreno gets a victory over Casey Green. So it starts off with Omar Moreno really doing a good job of kickboxing. He's scoring and moving, and he's scoring his teeps and his body kicks and his low kicks, and he's just, you can see that he's got the flow going. He does a switch step trying to sneak a knee in, and Green catches him. The moment Green catches him, he does like a, you know, a shooting motion as he sees him on the ground, thinking that he got the KO clean. But I looked up at the clock as I see it, you know, I'm sitting there ringside, and I see that there's 19 seconds left, and Omar, who was hurt, you know, he was out of it a little bit, he gets up, and he just has to survive like 12 seconds, and Green put the onslaught on him, and he was able to make it out of the round. Round two, you could see that, you know, still a little hurt. They're coming after Omar and scoring a lot of effective offense. Green's still throwing the power shots, but man, Omar Moreno was starting to get his wits about him, starting to get the kickboxing scores in, the clean combos, the kicks, it just started to build, and then all of a sudden it looked like Green was tired and Omar was feeling it. So go on to round three, Omar goes out there with a sense of urgency, and this is very, very important. I say this in any combat sport that I ever see, if you know you're down, the way you fight towards the end of the fight shouldn't be to win a round. You know, you should be throwing. It shouldn't be technical if it doesn't have to be technical. If that's not how you find power, if you got to go street, you got to go street. But technically, you can't just allow yourself to lose rounds. You got to be to lose the fight while you're trying to win the round. You've got to do everything in your power to try to get the guy out of there. And I thought that the offense picked up. You know, Omar started building and building and building. And really, when he got Green hurt, when the ref stepped in, I thought that the ref was going to call the fight. I thought it was in the area because we don't have standing eight counts. And he came in, and clearly it looked like he stopped it before he fell down. Before he was falling into the ropes, before he fell to the ground. So in my opinion, I thought they were going to call the fight. Instead, they did a standing eight count, which is what we don't do. We actually talked to the ref, and we talked to some of the officials on that side. They thought that he was going to go down. Not all of them, but some of them thought that he was going to go down if it wasn't for the ropes, that he was heading towards the ropes before that happened. But my personal opinion, I thought that that would have been a situation where I wouldn't have minded if they stopped it because he called a standing eight. Nevertheless, Green gets the count. He comes out. Omar comes with a big-time teep to the face. And teep puts him down, and you get a second count. So after Omar Moreno had lost rounds one and two on all the scorecards, he gets a 10-7 in the last round. So at minimum, he gets a draw. You know, no matter what, he should be able to get a draw out of this because he took away the round that had the 10-8 against him, and then he also took away the round that he lost even. So he's back in the fight. They go to the cards. It's a draw on all the cards. They go to the extra round, and Moreno's, got more in the tank. He gets more kickboxing offense done. He gets the victory. So out of the Casey Green, man, the past when we used him for glory, he has the power, but he mostly throws wide shots. Doesn't kick that much, really throws wide power shots. This time I thought his shots were clean. They were definitely still powerful, but I thought they were a lot cleaner, a lot straighter. So shout out to Green. Well, of course, we'll use Green down the road. Omar Moreno is just a gift. Turns out he had a big audience there. We were surprised at how many people he had from Chicago because most of his fight career was in Spain, and then he just started training in Holland. And then he had his last win in before this at the Glory event in Redemption in December. So definitely want to see more of Omar Moreno. He's a lot of fun. Unfortunate situation as Hayes Wilson and Anthony McDonald, two American heavyweights that were, McDonald, of course, coming off the loss to Chai Lewis Perry a couple years ago. He was looking to get another shot in Glory. After taking that short notice fight, he had a full camp. He was looking to go. Hayes Wilson, same thing. He was ready to go for this fight, and then there was a chance that he might be fighting Morisano, so he was ready to go for that fight, and then it switched back to McDonald, within the span of, 3 days. So he was ready to go. And then Anthony McDonald, after a long struggle to make sure all of his paperwork was in, we get to the event, and his blood pressure's high, and they won't let him fight. So definitely heartbreaking to hear that, and, hopefully both athletes will get to compete down the road. Wilson definitely heartbroken because he wanted to make his big Glory debut, wanted to make a splash and throw hands. McDonald's definitely looking to get back on the top, wants to be one of the get back to the top level, get back to competing against the best in the world. So clearly he's heartbroken that opportunity didn't come his way. So hopefully both guys stay in the gym, and we'll see what happens down the road. Sitsong Pinong defends his title against Kristen Baya. One judge gave it 49-46. All the others had it 50-45. To Baya's credit, I thought he was strong and I thought he was game because he took a lot of low kicks inside and outside. And he's a young guy and he was really, really, looking for his shots. But I thought he was a little bit too clean. Personally, I was wondering if he was going to be a little more, guns blazing, look for a power shot. But there's a reason why Sitsong is who he is. This guy is good. Like he is so talented. And to watch him live and to watch how the body kick scored and the outside low kick scored and his boxing and his step knees, he just got timing down. He's awesome. He is awesome. And I'll never forget when Ryan Scalia was still writing for Liverkick. And on our podcast, he'd always talk about him as a guy who really had a lot of high-level ability. And was the best suited guy to move from who wasn't signed by Glory or K1. And I remember them, he had a great style for kickboxing. This dude's good. He is super, super talented. He doesn't shy away from contact. Not a lot of clinching in this fight. It was pretty much a clean kickboxing match throughout. And he was the victor clear for me in most of the rounds. Now came the situation of some people were upset that Kristen Baya was thrown in there too early. And I have said this many times on this podcast. I couldn't disagree with that more. Stefan Leko talks about when he fought Badr Hari, and this is the example that I usually bring up. The first time they fought, when he won by spinning a back kick to the body and to the liver, when the first time they fought, after the fight was over with, you know, there was all this animosity because there's a lot of, you know, trash talk and both guys were heated. And then Lecko gets the victory. And Lecko says, hey, he's just a young guy and he's going against a world-class kickboxer. And when I was 20 years old, I fought Ernesto Hoost. And he's 20 years old. He's fighting me. And, of course, Botter would go on to get a victory over Lecko after the loss. And the thing that it told me, and I look at throughout history, Andy Sauer versus Albert Krause, there is something to a young guy, another one that popped up in my head, Paul Briggs versus Jamad, young fighters going against elite fighters. Like, at some period of time, you've got a world championship, you go on and you're 19, 20, 21 years old, and the opportunity comes for you to go against the best. In kickboxing, you take that fight. You take that fight, and if you lose it, you lose it. But it's not like anything's, you know, your whole path is disrupted. And some people felt like, you know, maybe if they had groomed him a little bit better, he'd do better in his first opportunity against Sinichai. Well, maybe going against Sinichai gets him a feel of who the high level is or what the highest level of fighting is. He gets that feel. He then goes out to get more sparring with Thai fighters. He takes on more oppositions. Maybe that fight sends him in the direction so that he wins it better. But you've got to feel it before you know. Like, there is no grooming towards going against Sinichai. You can go against some Thai style guys. Maybe that'll help you. But in the end, there is no grooming process. Once that call is made, you got to go out there and feel it. You got to go out there and be in there with those athletes and then go from there. So that's just my personal opinion. And I can understand how some people are like, man, maybe these guys should be, you know, brought up like boxers. And then by the time they go against the championship fight, they're ready. I've never felt that way. You know, I've always felt get good, grow in your skill. If you get the opportunity to go against the best in the world, you take that opportunity. And if you lose, you could still train. And then 3 years later, 2 years later, you're better suited to win that fight. But in kickboxing, you always fight. That's just my personal opinion. So great job there. Sinichai, you're the champion. We've heard, you know, stories of Murat Grigoryan, some of the names that have been kicked around for a possible, you know, fight for him down the road. Whoever Sinichai fights is all good with me. I'm a big fan of his, so good stuff there. We move on to Guto Innocente versus Junior Tafa. First of all, Junior Tafa is an absolute joy. He is one of my favorite people that I have ever worked with when I've been in Glory. He jokes all the time. He's just a funny guy. He's just laid back, and he knows how to sell himself. This guy will be a star in kickboxing for as long as he wants to kickbox. And he throws that heat and moves well. And he's learning kickboxing. Guto Innocente played kind of a moving type of game, scored combinations, got the low kick going on Tafa. Just didn't throw him consistent as he possibly could. But he did, like, show the wear in the third round. You can see that Tafa was hurt. Guto Innocente, unfortunately, took a shot, and it cut him real bad on the eye. And I remember we're talking ringside, and I was like, is there a chance that we're going to use an alternate, or is there a chance, and Hayes Wilson was the alternate, is there a chance that we're going to use an alternate, or is there a big opportunity for Junior Tafa to get back in the tournament? They go to the cards, and Tafa loses 29-28 on two, 30-27 on the other, and Guto Innocente, they take him in the back. Chicago Commission, one of the hardest commissions that I've ever been around. They're super strict. They call the fight immediately. They then ask Tafa if he can go. They medically clear him, and he's back into the tournament. He then meets the other side of the bracket, which was Benjamin Adebuyi, as he gets a KO victory over D'Angelo Marshall. Right hand came over the top, caught Marshall right behind the ear. Marshall went down. He was in bad shape and was not able to answer the bell 30 seconds or answer the count 30 seconds into the fight. It was an awesome shot. And I'm reminded of how good Benjamin Adebuyi is. This dude's talented. He doesn't just play a combination low kick, and he doesn't just play a better athlete game. He punches with you. He looks for opportunities to punch in between, and he looks for opportunities to score his combo flow, but inside of your offense. D'Angelo Marshall is going to be fine. Like, he's a good kickboxer, doesn't necessarily have the most KO pop, but he definitely, and I mean definitely, can, you know, punch with some of the best guys. You know, like he'll get better, he'll grow. He came out looking for a KO in this one. He was super aggressive. Now, I don't know how they want to do it, you know, future. I don't know if they want to build him in such a way that, you know, his camp, I don't know if they want to build him in such a way where they want him to find more KOs. Maybe that's the next step, because he's definitely good at putting rounds away. So D'Angelo Marshall, you're definitely going to see a lot more of you down the road. Just you got caught by a good shot against a really good fighter, and Benjamin Adegbuyi goes on. Benjamin Adegbuyi then goes on to win the tournament as he gets a low kick stoppage over Junior Tafa. Again, Tafa had the legs hurt from the last fight, so Benjamin Adegbuyi just had to be consistent with the work. Tafa was still game. He got up every single time. He was still trying to fight to the very end, still throwing power shots to the very end. And as I said before, Adegbuyi was giving him them opportunities because he was staying in the pocket with him. He was throwing big shots in the pocket with him. So shout out to both guys for great effort. Tafa definitely made some fans, and Adegbuyi, and afterwards, like, Tafa's talking, I want a rematch, I want to go against him when I'm healthy, I want to go against him when, you know, I'm fresh and he's fresh. And Benjamin Adegbuyi now has more glory tournament wins than anybody, now that he's got three of those trophies, and we'll see. Do they want to do a, you know, rematch with Rico? Do they want to do something with, like, a Ishmael Lant or a Ben Sadiq's another really good fight for him? I think that's the perfect fight for him, actually, versus Ben Sadiq. They just kind of make their decision on what they're going to do moving forward for Benjamin Adegbuyi. But he's a lot of fun, very, very good fighter. Richard Abraham defeats Malik Watson-Smith by unanimous decision, 29-26 on four of the cards, 30-25 on the other. Malik Watson came out, did a really good job with his body kicks and his movement. He was very, very fast, and it was clear that Abraham's goal and his game plan was to put his head right down the middle and throw in flurries. So it wasn't a lot of kicks from him, just a lot of power boxing and closing the distance. Watson was able to play the game early. You know, he's able to score and move, but in the end, Abraham was able to close the distance, was able to get his power shots, and then the holding began. Sometimes by both guys, sometimes by one or the other guys. They got into a lot of clinch positions, and then they ended up taking a point in both the second and third round from Watson, making the score margin so wide without a knockdown. Again, Abraham had his moments, but Watson really did do a great job. He made a great showing for himself. He was up in round one. And he just couldn't sustain it. He wasn't able to sustain it against the pressure. He's asked for a rematch. He thought that he was doing good. But in the end, it was just when the technique got a little loose and got a little sloppy and guys started holding, the fight wasn't what we all wanted. But, man, still, shout out to both guys. And I really thought that they put in great effort. And I thought that the crowd loved it, because clearly Watson had a, you know, good-sized audience in there supporting him, and Abraham had a good, he usually does in Chicago, had a good audience supporting him, so it was cool to listen to that fight. What's next for Richard Abraham? Clearly, he can fight, you know, in Chicago and be a draw, but he wants to get the wins over the international oppositions. He's got the U.S. guys figured out for the most part, so there are a couple matchups I can see making with him, but for the most part, it's going to be him winning at the next level. So he'll get him. Then the guys are coming. We'll find some guys for him to fight. But that's going to be the next step for him, and he's excited about that opportunity. And the first time when I got the glory job, I just gave him a call, and that's what he talked about. He said, hey, I really want to fight the best guys in the world. He says, I don't care if I lose, but I want to see if my skill set matches against him, and that's what we need. Watson will be fine. He's very quick, good. You know, he's going to have to just work on his spacing. I think that's what got him in trouble as far as the grappling goes. And he comes from full rules Muay Thai. But, man, he had a great showing in round one, so we'll see Watson again down the road. We finished the card off with Hurat Gagorian, who came away with a big-time upset as he gets Mirtho Grunhardt. Grunhardt had won both of the previous meetings, stoppage in both of those meetings. Hurat Gagorian gets him on the ropes. They start to he's throwing bombs in. Mirtho Grunhardt is staying behind his earmuffs, and they're right in front of me. So I'm thinking that, okay, Mirtho's going to wait it out. And Mirtho tried to leave his earmuffs and throw a shot, and he got caught right behind the ear. He was in bad shape after that, after going down from that punch. Plenty of time of the round. Hurat Gagorian was on the hunt. I thought that, personally, that Mirtho was moving. Like, he was doing an intelligent defense. He was trying to get away from the strikes. He was moving. I would have let that go, personally, to see what would have, you know, to see what would have happened. That's just my personal opinion. Hurat
Harut gets the victory. Big time month, you know, for the Gregorians, because man, this dude, it was impressive to see him win the way that he won. He's good, you know. He's a talented guy, and it just finally came together for him. So, you know, moving forward, like, that's got to be the question that we all ask. You know, that's got to be the thing that determines his future and the future of a lot of people. Can you handle that pressure that he brings on? Can you handle that intensity, that offensive push? He's an excellent, exciting fighter. He kept pushing, kept winning small tournaments, kept, you know, beating good opposition, and now he's a champion of the world. Merthyr Grunhardt will be fine. He was this guy. He was Grunhardt. You know, he was a guy who kept getting high-level opportunities and just coming up short. And in many cases, he was the one keeping Gregorian from, you know, getting to the top. And now he's the guy who's in that spot. So we'll definitely see what happens to both guys down the road. But, man, fun card, fun to watch. And definitely Gregorian, what's next? I'm thinking the winner of Doumbé and Alim Dabayev would be a good one for him. And Merthyr Grunhardt can fight any elite guy at 77 kgs. But good stuff and glory Chicago.
So we move on to the infusion card that took place. And it was the most infusion thing ever. You know, like this, there's some good competition, there's their main stars getting victories, and there's some controversy, and it's just what they do. February is usually their big event for the year, and they showcased a lot of their talent, and at the same time, there were some, you know, decisions that, you know, well, I won't say decisions, but there were some, I guess what we would call controversies, things outside of the sport that affected the card. Once again, it's just something that happens on a regular basis. So we'll go ahead and go down the card. Sheena Wendershoven gets a victory over Diamara Veers by extension round decision. Sheena Wendershoven she's pretty good. I mean, I like her 1-2. I like her switch kick. You know how most of the Dutch play with the combination to a low kick. She's got a really sneaky combo to switch kick game. I thought Veers was, you know, again, this is a fight that I'm kind of reading through. Just got, you know, some clips here and there and then heard about it. Was game. You know, game was right in there. It was a good back and forth, but Wendershoven wins. She was their champion at one period of time. I'm not sure what, you know, their plans are for her as far as, you know, putting a strap on her or putting her in a title fight, or if she has a title already and this just wasn't a title fight. But Sheena's good, so I want to see her more. Yusin Ambari gets a victory over Jan Binkhorst. I didn't get any of that fight, so please forgive if you're one of those two athletes. I didn't get, I believe it might be pronounced Jan. I didn't get any of that fight, so I only got the result. Same with Perry Richling as he gets a victory over Mohamed Dedo. And then Vizeleti Koshel gets a victory over Boubacar El-Bukhari. Those are fights that, I'll add one more. Anis Arez gets a victory over Andre Estevio. Those are fights that I just heard about, but I didn't get the result of. I didn't get to see any footage, so please forgive. Paul Jensen gets a victory over Percy Demier by KO. Paul Jensen's a name to watch. I just need to see more of him. You know, I got to see more of him against elite opposition, but it's a start by getting a KO victory here. Redan Alikbari gets a victory at 75 kg title fight over Norden van Roosmalen. Larkubi is talented, and of course he's got the he was entered into the tournament and he got the win over Muhammad Jiraya, and you know the fight that, you know, led to Jiraya and the altercation with the ref afterwards. I mean, he's got the skills. He was just able to outlast Roosmalen in this one, able to have better offense towards the end of the fight. Roosmalen will be fine, plays a good combo game, very good fighter. I just think that Larkubi was the better man here, and now it's about how do you move this 70 kg title. Now, of course, we know in Fusion's history, Fusion will usually move to an area with their champions, and then their best fighter will go against whatever co-promotion that they're doing with in that area. Very much it's Showtime style. For those of you who remember the Showtime kickboxing pro, you know, company, which, you know, run by Simon Roots, which was later bought out by the Glory Group. In the beginning, they would go to an area like France, for example, and they would bring their champions, and they'd have a mixed card of, you know, high-level elite fighters, and then some old names from, you know, or some names from current names from K1, and then the card would finish with the two athletes of, the card would finish with three fights. One of the fights would be a title fight, so like... Johan Ladan would be in a fight, you know, title fight against whoever the glory champion was at the time. I remember, I think he got a victory over Gregorian, and he won a title there in Lyon. And then the last two fights would be guys that you would be familiar with from, you know, K1. In that way, Lakbar Kuba is now the champion. So now it's like, how do you build this guy? Do you then go to Slovakia and then have him go against the best guy there, 75 kgs, and then have the top of the card be someone, you know, like Tayfun Askin or something like that? They've got a champion. Now they've got to build the champion. And that really, really matters who the next fights are. Whether they're fights where he wins by blowout KO or whether they're fights where he goes against elite names out there. We can't just have Radon Larkobi win the title and then be forgotten. Yusuf El Haji gets a victory over Khalid El Makadam. Again, another fight that I got the result of, didn't get the action. Bilal Lokili gets a KO victory over Moreno Monti. This is my first time really seeing Lokili. I've maybe seen him on one other card, so I need to see more from you, Bilal. So keep up the good work. Ishmael Benali, I've seen him fight before. He gets a KO victory over Edgin Kuduk. Definitely want to see him build on that. Will Infusion push him? That's very important. Sofyan Kodori gets a victory over Boris Kurabas. And then we head to the top of the card of names that we all know. With some very unfortunate situation. Luis Tavares's fight with Ismael Lazar is canceled because Ismael Lazar has a bad drug test. So he gets caught with, I don't know if it was steroids or whatever it was, but he failed a drug test. Once again, and I've said this to people, you know, when they've asked about kickboxing or if they asked about MMA, and they think that people who fail a drug test have a look to them. Well, look at how ripped that guy is. Clearly, he's on steroids. It doesn't have a look. As soon as you see that Ismael Lazar failed the drug test, you will then know for once and for all that they don't have a look. They don't have a look. They are the look of whatever their body is when they took whatever substance abuse. Now, again, let's let due process take its place. Ismael Lazar, again, a guy I would have never guessed in a million years to be taking anything steroids. In a million years, I would have never guessed it. So maybe he took something or something was in a supplement that he used, whatever the case, let it get some time. I would have never guessed him, and he's passed drug tests before, but it didn't go his way. Luis Tavares clearly looking for the opportunity to push his brand, push himself as one of the better fighters in the world at the heavyweight division now that he's moved up. So clearly he's disappointed that he didn't get this opportunity to compete. But once again, Infusion, the cards will be coming together. You'll be building young stars. And then just something weird outside of the action will take away from the action in the ring. So hopefully they can get past that. Next fight on the card, Nordin Benmo gets victory over Albert Kraus. It's weird matchmaking in itself, and I was just surprised that Nordin Benmo wasn't able to get the stoppage. But Kraus is still tough, still game, doesn't have the speed that he used to, didn't have the combo to low kick game or combo, mainly a boxing guy who used the low kicks and the body kicks and high kicks, you know, sporadically. Nordin Benmo, bigger, stronger. I thought that he was going to be able to get, you know, Kraus out of there just because of the youth angle and his strength. But Kraus was able to stay in there. Nordin Benmo gets a clear decision. But Kraus, man, Kraus is in the house. It's so weird because we are now in 2018, which means we are 15 years away from when Albert Kraus won the K1 World Grand Prix. It just blows me away that that's where the sport is. And Kraus, as young as he was then, I think he was 20 when he won the title, maybe 21. Here he is still in the game all this time later. Shout out to Albert Kraus. Loves the sport, stays in it. When it's time to walk away, hopefully he makes the right decision and the people around him are saying, hey, it's not going our way anymore. It's time to stop. But it's cool that he was out there and he can get in there with one of the better younger guys in the sport and get his hands raised. Tayfun Askin gets a awesome. Right cross KO over Andy Sauer, came right over the top. Before it, Oskin was able to win the rounds. Just a better kickboxer. Andy Sauer spent the whole last year focusing on mixed martial arts. Then when he came back to kickboxing, he jumped right in there with one of the better guys in the world. Can't do that. It's just too tough. Now, it's not that Sauer's not great. Sauer is an all-time great kickboxer. He's a legend. He's a guy that if there is a Hall of Fame in kickboxing, he'd be going in no matter what. But pursued MMA, focused on that for a while, had some victories, had a loss, and then he tried to return to kickboxing, and he could still return to kickboxing and beat a lot of guys. But Tayfun Oskin, big, strong, best guy in the promotion, was able to get a victory and a big, clean KO victory at that. So hopefully we get to see more of Tayfun Oskin. He's the one guy that I think for sure, I tip my hat to Infusion, because they've kept pushing him. He has been made a vet in their cards. They know he is the star to pay attention to push. I mean, he's amazing. I'm a big time fan of his. So just want to see him continue to fight the best fighters in the world. ONE Championship, or ONE FC, is going into kickboxing. They made the announcements. They sound a lot of old K1 guys. George Petrosian's name came up. Yotsen Clyde's name came up. We'll see what comes from it down the road. But it's really cool that anybody's invested in kickboxing. Anybody wants to give more opportunities for these athletes to fight at the highest level. I sort of had the idea that it was coming because Michael Chevelle was asking me for fighters and asking me for contacts and asking me who I thought about certain guys. And his focus seemed to be on, more guys who are ex-K1 guys still fighting at a high level. And ONE FC's, they've got a great TV deal, and they're shown in a lot of countries in Asia, and they get live, footage. So hopefully whatever this brand is, we get to see these guys fight at the highest level. That's got to be the goal. And, I mean, I'm all about the best fighting the best, and I'm all about kickboxing opportunities so that people can make money in this sport. So shout out to the athletes that have been signed, and we'll definitely see what comes from it down the road. I'm not going to talk about the whole card. Just going to bring up a result or two. WGP Kickboxing 44 results that went down in Brazil, Sao Paulo, Brazil. We have Bruno Gazzani gets a victory over Marcelo Dionisio by unanimous decision for the light middleweight title. Bruno Gazzani is a guy to be watching. He's a talented kid, and this victory just shows, get behind this guy, keep following this guy. I want to see him against the best in the world. I want to see him continue to use this as the platform to get him to bigger kickboxing opportunities. Clearly, Glory is paying attention. Clearly, other organizations are paying attention. Bruno's very, very talented. So Bruno Gazzani gets the victory, and we will see what they do with him. We will see what happens to him as far as fighting for the best fight promotions in the world. I'll bring up two more fights from this card. Viscardi Andrade gets a victory over Victor Venezuela by unanimous decision. Andrade, also talented, guy to watch out for. And then Emiliano Sordi defeats Alexandre, who they call Sagat, by split decision. Very, very close fight. I'll give you guys one more. Robson Monotino gets a victory over Mateus Gatti. He got TKO by leg kicks. It was because of the leg kicks that I saw that I was figured I'd bring up that fight. Robson's good, our Monotino. He's a good fighter. I want to see more of him down the road. Those three, him, Viscardi, and Bruno, are guys I'd like to see at the Glory level or fighting on the international level. Very, very talented kids. So we've got all these great fighters. We've got all this great action, all these great kickboxing results. And still, we've got good kickboxing coming as the result isn't up. It's actually happening as we speak. But Yusuf Bohanan is going to be fighting Nubakao, and this is going on for the 160 Rajanam title. It's happening right now. I wish I could get you guys the results. They're not done. So right now where I am in, I'm in Thailand, and they're not quite done. I was hoping to sneak this result into you guys, but they were not able to finish by the time I got to you. And then they've got what is it, Yusin Bahana. He's a heavyweight. I've seen him fight several times. I actually saw him fight in Leon. He's a good kid, and he's going against Stephen Banks. Man, we really do have some high-level guys competing on this card. Some names, Suksan, and I would have loved to get those results to you. They're just happening right now, so please forgive. We're going to go ahead and wrap the show up by talking about the return of Badr Hari and talking about all the good stuff that's going down in Glory Holland this weekend. Clearly, for those of you who've been following me, been following kickboxing for a while, you know the story behind Badr Hari. The great, I've said it many times, there have been two great heavyweight prospects in the history of kickboxing. One's Alexei Agnishov, and two is Badr Hari. Those are the two. Doesn't mean that there weren't other great, kickboxers. Clearly, we would have wanted to know what would have happened if Ginty Verde hadn't passed away. We would have liked to see what would have happened to him down the road. Tyrone Spong became a great, kickboxer at the bigger divisions, but he was a legend in the smaller divisions before he moved up. But guys who were always heavyweights, and the way that their physical frames mirrored, and Alexei Agnishov being a thinner guy with KO pop, despite the fact that his frame was long arms. And then you look at Badr Hari, his frame was really, really similar. And then when those two met early, Alexei Agnishov had grown into a more powerful adult's body before Badr Hari had, who was still 18, 19 when those two met. He showed all the talent even that early. Even in that loss, he had the KO pop. He was beating guys by KO. He had the mouth. He was selling himself, calling all guys too old and couldn't wait to fight these certain individuals. And he was winning by KO and backing it up. And, all of the connections with, whether you want to say that he had gang connections, drug lord connections, problems with, ex-girlfriends, legal trouble, just all of it put together. Two stints in jail. Gets into a fight with a well-off guy and, goes to jail for it. And it's just story after story outside of the fact that he was an awesome kickboxer, in-ring antics come into play. And that's what leads us to the rematch that he's got going on this weekend with Hezdy Higgins. But I'm going to wrap the show up with that. I'm going to go ahead and go from the bottom of the card up. Kevin Van Hickeren as he goes against Bas Van Dokroon. That just shows the strength of Dutch kickboxing still. Guys still emerging, guys who, both of these guys, I've seen them compete before. This is their first time getting on the fight pass portion. I'm excited to see how this battle matches up. Really good kickboxers, both. Plus, we've got a deep middleweight division, and they add to the depth. So definitely want to see both of these athletes compete, put on a great show. Cesaro Glunder is going to bring his power punching to Victor Pinto. Of course, is more of a scorer and a mover. Victor stays in the pocket more than his brother, but Pinto is definitely still going to play that Muay Thai style, play the body kicks, play action in a moment and then move, whereas Glunder is going to look to sit on his power shots, look to get into exchanges, look to close the distance, threaten with big knees, big step knees, his body and high kicks. Plays a low kick every once in a while, but really he likes the boxing, so that should be a good matchup. Tijani Bistati continues to his growth. He was in a tournament, won the first round, lost to Stoyan in the second round. But before it, he had been winning all year in Glory. Young man, 19, 20 years old. He's doing it the right way. Just keep fighting. Just keep fighting. You'll be great. Just keep fighting. And he gets Anil Kabri. Kabri, of course, going to come in and try to show clean boxing and kickboxing skill. The Turkish fighter is very, very, he's experienced to an extent, but Bistati will clearly be a big step up for him. So it'll be fun to see how that one goes. Muhammad Jiraiya makes his debut against Miles Simpson. First of all, just great matchmaking here. Miles Simpson, good fighter, looking, he's been winning for a while, just hadn't been doing it in the Glory stage. So he had been getting the recognition. Had a lot of buzz when he first came on the scene. Just kind of that stuff kind of faded away, but he's still been winning. He's still high level. Muhammad Jiraiya, of course, was Infusion's champion, one of the two young stars that they pushed. In the way that they push Lakubi and Oskin now, they used to push Ilias Belaid and Muhammad Jiraiya. And now Jiraiya getting into that clean kickboxing, getting into that combo flow, growing, still growing. He's fighting at 77 kgs or 170 pounds. It's funny because I never thought that he'd be that big. I thought that he would at the max compete at, you know, 70 kgs. But the body kept growing. He kept getting better. Hopefully he's able to sustain his offensive output at this level, just because it'll put awesome fights. Miles Simpson, of course, still very strong. Good with the kicks. Plays more of a single kick game when he has those opportunities. This is just great matchmaking. Just great matchmaking. Jiraiya, Simpson, really, really awesome. We round off the early portion of the Fight Pass card, or the Super Fight series, with Cedric Doumbé versus Alim Nabiyev. This is also awesome matchmaking. We got two guys, Alim Nabiyev and Cedric Doumbé, both great with talking, both charisma, both sell themselves, both in the interview and in the ring. Head movement and switching stance and combos and offensive volume and doing things a little bit different. You're going to see a spinning technique or a jumping technique from one of the guys. You're going to see a heel attack. You're going to see things different from these athletes. Now, will the dance look good if both guys are playing the same thing? Because most of the time they look good because they're doing it to a guy who's not throwing as much, who's trying to figure them out. But now they're both playing that same game. So it'll be interesting to see who's able to come out of this. Really, really good matchmaking. The winner of this fight, I think, is going to end up fighting Murat for the title. Harut for the title. So great matchmaking. Do your work, fellas. We move on as we get a glory welterweight tournament. Thong Chai gets in the tournament. He is going to go against Alan Shinson in the first round. The Argentinian fighter has fought glory before, came up short, but still game. Trains there at Hemmer's Gym, so he's ready to go against some of the best. And Thong Chai, good fighter, but he ran and was stopped by Mirtha Grunhart, who was able to get the big shots and hit him with a triple left hook, which was awesome to see, and got the stoppage. But Thong Chai, game, got back in the gym, ready to go after this tournament full. The other side of the bracket, Ivan Denenberg, as he goes against Jimmy Vannoy. Jimmy Vannoy can fight. Like, I've seen this guy fight a lot. He had some game moments against Nabiyev. Just Nabiyev is just so talented. But he's very, very good. Ivan Denenberg, huge, huge, 6'5", long arms, good offense, good with the boxing, finds the moment for the low kicks, finds the moments for the step knees. This is good matchmaking. This is a really, really solid tournament. It'll be fun to see who emerges from it, but it's just Denenberg and Vannoy. Shinson is probably the guy who's got the biggest uphill climb as far as resume goes, but he's right there, and this is just a great four-man tournament. Excited to see how this one shapes up. We get Thomas Mosny as he goes against Daniel Skvar. We got to build heavyweights, and Thomas has fought for glory before, so hopefully this fight turns out to be the kind of fight that gives us, gives us a star to pay attention to moving forward, because we need more guys to compete with the Benjamin Adebuis and the, you know, Ben Sadiqs and the Rico Verhoevens of the world. We cannot have it just be Benjamin versus Rico. We got to have more guys emerge. So, and it's not their fault that they're 1-2 and Rico's sitting there at 1. The next line of heavyweights, get in the gym, keep working, keep taking on elite fighters, and when you get your shot, get that W. Which brings us to Badr Hari versus Hezdy Hurgas. Now, Hezdy, again, just so much behind this fight. So let's go ahead and go to the first fight. First time these two gentlemen fight, Badr Hari is scoring clean offense. But Hezdy Hurgas is right there. He's still in there, still able to throw combos and low kicks, still able to, you know, counter kick. Badr was scoring, but he couldn't get the big separation that he wanted from Hezdy. Hezdy was strong. He's super tall, so like both guys are looking eye to eye. Hezdy's probably maybe even be, no, I think they're the same height. I think same height, because Badr Hari is a legit 6'6". He's a tall guy. So in this fight, I thought that Hezdy was game, and his frame was strong, and he was able to counter kick. Badr Hari was scoring offense, but then the frustration started to build because he wasn't able to get the KO that he wanted, that he probably thought he was going to get when the match was made. He started to throw heavy shots. Hezdy falls on the ground kind of like as a slip. Hezdy starts to get up, and Badr Hari kicks him while he's on the ground, and Hezdy wins the title by disqualification. Badr Hari, of course, who had gotten in trouble for the same, you know, crime against Remy Majowski, he took a break after that and cleared his head, came back, had a victory against Tony Gregory, and then just kept, you know, fight a little bit, disappear, fight a little bit, disappear. He was signed to, you know, Glory, signed to big organizations, and then he went from fighting from big organizations to fighting just for kind of what the biggest pay, in Russia a couple times, and Kazakhstan, I want to say, fought. He's a talented guy, but it just builds on who he is as an athlete, that there's always the gaps, there's always the story, there's always something in who this guy is that kept him from being the best fighter in the world. He was always in the conversation, he just didn't win it all. But despite it all, no matter what you think about him, whatever you think about, you know, his inconsistency and how he's been fighting, no matter what you think about this guy, he is still the biggest star in kickboxing. He is so beloved. No matter what he does, someone will come to his defense. And he can still fight. At this stage in his life, he can still crack with the 1-2, still crack with the jab cross, still crack with the one, the jab low kick, the hook low kick, the cross switch kick. This guy is still a powerful guy. And before Rico Verhaeven got the stoppage, you know, or, you know, through the arm injury, he was right there. He's banging it out with them. Very, very strong guy. And he was up on the cards. And he is still a threat at this stage to be one of the better guys in the world. And he competes well when he gets that opportunity. It just, he wasn't able to put it all together and get the main crown. But he still has, you know, the huge victory. And no one will ever forget the big victory he got over Shemmy Schilt at the time when Shemmy was beating everybody. So Badr Hari is still probably the most memorable kickboxer of his era. He is a great star. And he is returning to kickboxing this Saturday. Hezzy Higgins, as I said before, always game, always there. He struggled the other way. Had some decisions that go his way. He was very close in this fight with Benjamin Adegbuyi. He was competing well before he lost by head kick KO in the last one. He's a good fighter. He's a good fighter. A good top 10 talent fighter. Not maybe top 10 right now as far as resume because he's had some losses, but as far as talent goes and his ability to play with combination and kicks at his size is still really, really potent. He could still beat a lot of guys. So these guys going at it should be fun. Hopefully the kickboxing is the only story we talk about afterwards. I'm excited to see how the crowd responds to Badr Hari. I'm excited to see how the crowd gets behind Hezzy Higgins. If the rounds are closer, it should just be an awesome night of kickboxing. So God bless. I want to thank everybody again. Kickboxing highlight, of course, out there. I haven't done my job as usual. I usually have this out right away, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks into the kickboxing season, or into the you know, new calendar year. This time I made the highlight and then got busy and didn't upload it. So please forgive. I'm excited to get that to you guys. It's a lot of fun. It's always fun for me to make. So God bless. Thank you so much for following my kickboxing podcast. I'll try to be back next week with another episode breaking down what happened at Glory 51 in Rotterdam. And hopefully only thing that anybody is talking about is what's next for the winners of that card. So God bless again. Peace, everybody.